Genesis chapter 9, reading verses 18 through 28. And thereafter we will read Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 through 21. Beginning in Genesis chapter 9, reading verses 18 through 28. This is the word of the Lord. The sons of Noah who went forth from the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the people of the whole earth were dispersed. Noah began to be a man of the soil, and he planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Then Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned backward, and they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be to his brothers." He also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." After the flood, Noah lived 350 years. All the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 through 21. "And everyone who survives of all the nations that have come against Jerusalem shall go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Booths. And if any of the families of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, there will be no rain on them. And if the family of Egypt does not go up and present themselves, then on them there shall be no rain. There shall be the plague with which the Lord afflicts the nations that do not go up to keep the Feast of Booths. This shall be the punishment to Egypt, and the punishment to all the nations that do not go up to keep the Feast of Booths. And on that day there shall be inscribed on the bells of the horses, 'Holy to the Lord,' and the pots in the house of the Lord shall be as the bowls before the altar. And every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holy to the Lord of hosts, so that all who sacrifice may come and take of them and boil the meat of the sacrifice in them. And there shall no longer be a traitor in the house of the Lord of hosts on that day." This is the word of the Lord. There is a connection between Zechariah chapter 14 and Genesis chapter 9. That connection is Canaan. In Genesis chapter 9, Noah curses Canaan. Thereafter, in Scripture, Canaan and his offspring are identified with the serpent and his offspring. When the Lord puts his people into the land of promise, which was inhabited by the Canaanites, the people of God find themselves in a situation patterned after the Lord's putting Adam into the Garden of Eden. that garden being inhabited by the serpent. And so just as Adam was to crush the head of the serpent, to remove from his midst that which was unclean, so also Israel was to devote the Canaanites to destruction, to remove from their midst that which was unclean. This they were to do because Israel was holy to the Lord, just as Adam was holy to the Lord. And just as Adam failed to fulfill the work which God had commanded him, to cast the serpent out, so also Israel failed to fulfill the work which God had given them, to cast the Canaanites out. In Zechariah chapter 14, the Lord promises to do for Israel what she failed to do. Zechariah chapter 14, the Lord promises to do for Israel what she was unwilling to do, what she was unable to do. At the end of Zechariah, the Lord promises that in the end, on the last day, there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Also translated as, there will no longer be a traitor in the house of the Lord of hosts. There will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. The Lord promises to remove all that is unclean from His people. The Lord promises to remove all that is unclean from His people, all that is unclean around them, all that is unclean within them. This command, "You shall be holy, as I, the Lord your God, am holy," it is also a promise. You shall be holy. I will present you to myself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that you might be holy and without blemish. The command, "You shall be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy," in Zechariah chapter 14, it is a promise. It is that same promise we see in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation ending in the same way as Zechariah. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, concerning the city of God. Concerning the city of God on heavenly Mount Zion. Concerning that city, we read, "Nothing unclean will ever enter it, but only those whose name is written in the book of life." Zechariah ends with the assurance that He who began a good work in you will complete it on the day of our Lord. Did you write your name in the book of life? Did you write your name in the book of life? Were you there when the Lord wrote your name in the book of life? He who began a good work in you will complete it. He who began a good work in you will complete it on the day of our Lord Jesus. The command, "You shall be holy," it is also a promise. A promise that the Lord Himself will fulfill. There is another connection between Zechariah chapter 14 and Genesis chapter 9. A connection that we have not yet entirely noted. That connection does not concern Canaan. It concerns rather Japheth. Last Lord's Day we spoke briefly concerning Japheth. In Zechariah chapter 14, we see not only the fulfillment of the curse upon Canaan, but we see also the fulfillment of the blessing upon Japheth. In Zechariah chapter 14, we see not only the fulfillment of the curse that was pronounced upon Canaan in Genesis chapter 9, but we see also the blessing that was pronounced upon Japheth in Genesis chapter 9. What was that blessing again? May God enlarge Japheth. Let him dwell in the tents of Shem. What sort of blessing is this? What sort of blessing is this to dwell in tents that are not your own? But again, who were the descendants of Shem? Genesis chapter 11, verse 10. The generations of Shem, his offspring, Shem, Arpachshad, Shelah, Eber, Reu, Sereg, Nahor, Terah, Abram. Abram is the offspring of Shem. The tents of Shem are the tents of Abraham. The tents of Shem are the tents of Israel. Japheth's blessing is that the offspring of Japheth would dwell in the tents of Israel. Japheth's blessing is that the offspring of Japheth would share in the inheritance of Israel. But who are the offspring of Japheth? To whom does this blessing belong? Genesis chapter 10, verse 5. The descendants of Japheth are the coastland peoples. And what does God announce to the coastland peoples in Isaiah chapter 49? What does God announce to the coastland peoples in Isaiah chapter 49 as He speaks to His Son? Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, "I will make you as a light for the nations, that My salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." Genesis chapter 9, God begins to reveal the mystery of Christ. In Genesis chapter 9, God begins to reveal the mystery of Christ, that the Gentiles, that the nations will become fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. The nations will dwell in the tents of Israel. Those who were not God's people will be called God's people. The blessing of Japheth is fulfilled in Zechariah chapter 14. Just as the curse of Canaan is fulfilled in Zechariah chapter 14, so also the blessing of Japheth is fulfilled in Zechariah chapter 14. May Japheth dwell in the tents of Shem. What does God command the nations to do in Zechariah chapter 14? What does God call upon the nations to do in Zechariah chapter 14? He calls them to come up to Jerusalem. For what purpose? To keep the Feast of Tabernacles. He calls them to come up to Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, to share in the blessing of Shem, to share in the blessing of Abraham, to share in the blessing of Israel, to dwell in her tabernacles, to dwell in her tents. In Zechariah chapter 14, God promises the nations that they will share in the blessing. That they will share in the blessing of Israel, the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Shem. That blessing which is described for us in Isaiah chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. In that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land shall be the pride and honor of the survivors of Israel. And he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who has been recorded for life in Jerusalem. And the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and cleansed the bloodstains of Jerusalem from its midst by a spirit of judgment and by a spirit of burning. Then the Lord will create over the whole site of Mount Zion and over her assemblies a cloud by day and smoke and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a canopy. There will be a tabernacle for shade by day from the heat, and for a refuge and a shelter from the storm and rain. In Zechariah chapter 14, the blessing which belongs to God's people, promise in Isaiah chapter 4, that blessing is promised also to the nations. The imagery of Isaiah chapter 4 is rooted in the presence of the Lord with His people in the wilderness. as he went before them and dwelt with them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. The imagery of Isaiah chapter 4 is rooted in the presence of the Lord with His people in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. It is the same imagery of Zechariah chapter 14. The imagery of Zechariah chapter 14 also is rooted in the presence of the Lord with His people in the wilderness. The Feast of Tabernacles was observed. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 43. The Feast of Tabernacles was observed that your generations may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in tabernacles when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. The promise of Zechariah chapter 14. It is the fulfillment of the blessing upon Japheth that the nations will dwell in the tents of Israel. That the nations will dwell in the presence of the Lord. That the nations will receive the blessing of Shem. The nations will participate in the blessing of Abraham. When will this promise be fulfilled? Promise of Zechariah chapter 14. It has already been fulfilled in your midst. The blessing of Jacob. To share in the blessing of Shem. It is a present reality in your midst. What is the blessing of Shem? What is the blessing of Abraham? Paul tells us. Paul tells us what is the blessing of Shem. Paul tells us what is the blessing of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. As it is written, cursed be everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. So that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. What is the blessing of Abraham? The receiving of the Spirit. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stands up and cries out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Verse 39. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But Jesus is now glorified. The resurrected and exalted Christ has poured out His Spirit upon His church. This promise, this blessing is not only for the offspring of Shem, it is also for the offspring of Japheth. It is not only for the Jew, it is also for the Gentile. How do you keep the Feast of Tabernacles? Zechariah chapter 14 commands the nations to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. How do you keep the Feast of Tabernacles? You keep the Feast of Tabernacles by coming to Christ. And receiving from Him the Spirit. The true tabernacle. The true dwelling place of the Lord. By faith in Christ, you enjoy the blessing of Japheth. You share in the blessing of Shem. You receive the blessing of Abraham, the promised Holy Spirit. Zechariah chapter 14 does not only concern things yet to come. It concerns things that have been fulfilled. It concerns the Spirit in your midst, the Spirit that you have received by faith in Christ. And so you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people for God's own possession, that you may now proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. your participation in the blessing of Shem. Your participation in the Feast of Tabernacles. Your participation in the blessing of Abraham. At the present time, it is a participation in the wilderness. For you also now are sojourners and exiles in this world. Just as the blessing of Shem has come to you through Christ, through His cross, so also your participation in the blessing of Shem includes the wilderness, includes your taking up the cross. You cannot enjoy the blessing of Shem. You cannot enjoy the blessing of Abraham apart from the wilderness, apart from the cross. You will endure many tribulations. You will suffer many afflictions. You will face many trials. But the promise of Zechariah chapter 14 is for you. The Lord is with you. His Spirit is in you. A canopy over you. A tabernacle for you. A shade for you. A refuge for you. A shelter for you in this world. The Lord is your dwelling place. The Spirit is your tabernacle, now and forever. And God will rescue you from every evil deed and bring you safely into His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray.